Wasabi, all you podcast listeners. How is it going today? Woo! Gosh, I'm just in the coolest place right now. Turn in the music. Alright. Gosh, yeah, I'm in the coolest place right now. All these awesome birds are just migrating up here, all the way up here. I'm way above the Arctic Circle. It's at the end of May. The snow is just melting, and all these animals are out of hibernation and running around, and they're all just mating and getting ready to have some babies. they gotta get those babies good and strong before, you know, the winter hits or the long migration on out of here. And that is just so cool. There's like little possums up here, like all kinds of crazy animals. Steve, are you seriously doing that? You are cleaning up that window. Why would you do that right when I'm doing the show? Oh my gosh. Rubbing your butt all over the soundproof glass. That is just... Yeah, you're totally cleaning that up. I just saw full frontal. Oh. Alright, I'll clean that up. That's on my side of the glass. Oh. I guess it is getting dirty in this show here. Woo. cut that out, Steve. We're trying to do a PG show here, and that is just crazy. I can't believe you just did that. Good way to loosen the mood, you know what I mean? All right. Yeah, clean up your act, Steve. Come on, clean it up. Jeez. Well, this is chapter one. It's only the beginning, but I'm super glad I even made it this far. Gosh, got my notes all screwed around here. Yeah, I got a lot of pressure to do a show every day, just because, I don't know, it helps out. Helps me out, helps everybody out. There's a lot of fans I got going on now all of a sudden. I like you guys, too. I think you like me. It's fun. Well, what have we got here today? What have we got on the show? Oh, yes. Since it's chapter one, I'm going to talk a lot about this information I have that I'm going to try to get out to you guys. I'm going to try my best. I got several books here. You know, some of the books are, you know, Mason books, secret society type thing. I can't really speculate on how come they have so many secrets. That I think it's because in the Westerner's mind, it's really hard to wake people up, and some people are a little further along than other people, and they can't really know the next step until they've mastered their first step. You know, you can't just go skipping steps while you're walking down the street. You might, you know, fall and crash and hurt yourself. Also, a lot of people just can't be woken up, and, well, that's just their system of finding out, you know, not letting them know. Well, that's not what, you know, Bill's doing. Bill's doing cool stuff. Why aren't I doing cool stuff? Well, you can't handle the cool stuff. And I have noticed that these secret societies study a lot in Eastern religion, which brings me to my next books. And my next books are written by a clairvoyant Buddhist Tibetan monk. That's a super cool guy. He is really funny. I'm actually going to read the first paragraph of one of his books off here in a second and talk about what I think that means. And other books I have are written by like this crazy peyote eating Indians of South America. And basically this anthropologist goes out to learn about psychotropic plants, and he meets this crazy eccentric old man. And really, who do you think is crazier? Like a crazy old guy, just like yelling all kinds of wild stuff on the side of the street, or the guy that follows that crazy old guy yelling wild stuff on the street? So you can't really call the old man crazy here on this one, because he's got a guy following him around, writing down everything he says. It's just funny. And well, a lot of these groups of books, the secret books, and then the Eastern religious books, and then the South American drug-eating books, they all are saying the same exact thing. Now, it's all coming from a different perspective, but and different words are used, but I could just totally see that they're all saying the same exact things. And I'm going to try to get that out to you guys. All right, I'm flipping open this book to read just the first paragraph out of. And it starts out like this. I am Tuesday Lob Sang Rampa. That is my only name. It is now my legal name, and I answer to no other. Right there he is saying he doesn't belong to any groups, and that's really cool. He's just saying, I am myself, I'm here. Like, nobody else is in control of me. Like, that's what he says in that first sentence there. It goes on. Many letters come to me with a weird conglomeration of names attached. They go straight into the waste paper basket. For as I say, my only name is Tuesday Lomse Rapa. Well, that is hilarious. Waste paper basket. I think that is really funny. Now, say you work in an office, and it's take your kid to work day, and you bring your kid to work, and he's like, what's this, you know, running around the office, looking at all kinds of things, and, you know, he comes to the waste paper basket, and what's this, well, that's the designated basket for wasting paper. Yay, let's waste some paper. Really, you want to, kid? Let's do it. And so you and your son are just throwing away pieces of paper. Now, you could say, that's just a perfect name, waste paper basket. Like, what other good name is that, you know? Like, if you're all about recycling and you never waste a piece of paper, well, aren't you wasting a waste paper basket? Now, I'm into saving paper. I actually save all my scraps of paper. And, you know, people, like, I kind of don't really have a use for them. I just have a pile of scrap paper and, like, what the scrap is all this crap for? I meant to say scrap, not crap. Whoops. But gosh, that is just hilarious. Waste paper basket. I can't get over how funny that is. They go straight into the waste paper basket. Alright, well, that's the first paragraph of this book, and this book is actually a lesson plan for all kinds of cool stuff, and I'm studying these lessons, and I want to get a little further into the lessons before I get into this book here. Just to, you know, get my bearings straight on the whole thing there, you know? And this next book is, well, now I really promised myself I was not going to tell you guys this. And that is, I still wet the bed. No, wait, that's not what I was planning on not telling you guys. That's what I was really not going to tell you guys. No, that's not true. I got dry sheets. My sheets are dry. Yep. No, it's this book I found, and it is written by a cat. Now, I have not gotten more guff than anything than this book. This book actually, I mentioned it to one person up here where I work, and all word just got around. It got around so fast that it actually went back to the person that I mentioned it to. And it got around even further to the point where my boss actually showed up to my home to check me out to make sure that I wasn't, you know, whatever, like crazy people do, like do a bunch of drugs or whatever. He came over to make sure that I was all right, you know. Like, are you okay? You're talking about a book written by a cat. Like, I gotta check this out. He actually ended up borrowing the book. That's what he was interested in. He was like, give me that thing. I'm gonna take a look at it. And me and my friends had a great big laugh at that. It was just quite hilarious. But this book, written by a cat, has taught me so much about women. It's written by a blind old lady cat, and it's just amazing, like, how much it teaches you. And I truly believe that this is written by a cat. If not, it is one of the greatest literary works I've ever come across or ever even heard about, because it so eloquently goes into the perspective through the eyes of a cat and can only think of things that a cat could think of, I believe. And you have to really read it to see that. And I'm going to, like, point out the good points to you guys. Point out the good points. I have never understood women more after reading this book. There's a point in where the cat is sick, like, totally sick, like on its death kitty bed kind of thing. And the owners, not really owners, but the family of the cat are, like, trying to feed it, like, urge it to eat, urge it to survive, and the cat, like, won't eat. But it's not because the cat, like, wants to die or anything. The cat just wants to feel loved. The cat wants to be wanted. No, that's totally chicks. Chicks totally do that. But that's what it did. It wouldn't eat, so people would try to feed it. And that's just really amazing. Like, and the other thing about this cat is it was a... It happens to be a really beautiful Siamese cat. And the owners were French, and this is back in the 1950s, and they, like, have it bred a lot to, like, get money from the kittens, because it's a show, like, a high-status symbol, these cats, back in these French days, apparently. And so the cat was having a lot of sex. And it could have talked about anything, like, I mean, it could have mentioned any of the guys, but it only mentioned one of the cats that it was, you know, intimate with. And it's just a really amazing thing. Like, you ask somebody, like, what is the person that you're going to think of, like, when you're old and dying, and you look back on your life, and, like, who is that one special person that you think of? And it's just really, really touching, and, you know, it makes me think, like, you know, who's going to think of me? Like, it turns me into a total player, which is a bad road to go down. A lot of pretty girls get their hearts broken when you're playing around. Which is not a good thing, but it's just, how can you touch people's lives so deeply to where that's what they're thinking of is you? But that's just like I'm trying to explain this to a normal thinking person, which is, should normally be thinking that I'm crazy for thinking that this book is actually written by a cat. Now, a cat can't write a book, of course, but it can dictate a book. Ooh, there we go, the plot. But oh my gosh, I can't believe I told you guys that. Yes, a lot of people are going to come knocking on my door now going, are you okay? Good, I'm glad I grabbed your guys' attention. And we are running out of time here. I gotta keep these shows kind of short because my internet is so slow up here that I can't just talk for, like, I want to do this show for, like, about 45 minutes straight of me talking, but that's just not going to work out. It's going to take, like, you know, hours to download and link up onto this cool internet thing. Yeah. So, that's it. This is chapter 1, part 1 for you, and I hope you don't think I'm so crazy that you're going to go bye-bye. Don't go. All right, you guys have a wonderful day. I'm having a great, great morning. I'm about to go to sleep, actually, but it's good morning. 9 in the morning, and it's completely daylight out. It was daylight out all night long up here above the Arctic Circle. It's that kind of thing, that kind of day. Well, right on, guys, and stay tuned for part 2, chapter 1. All right. Here's the song. I think that's the song.